Welcome, everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. My name is Roy. My call sign is AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Bob, KD2NVB, will be my co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its webpages, and we also offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. We also offer an Echo Link node available for use. Just point your Echo Link application to the node KC2RC-R. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. An application is always available on our club's website. No question is too simple, no question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try to provide a cogent answer, and Bob KD2NVB will join in as well. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know either here on the technical net, or you can email us. Our address is tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net, Bob KD2NVB. Good evening, Bob.
Roy, good evening, everybody. This is Bob, KD2NVB. Looking forward to a busy net tonight. We'll see. Okay, back to you, Roy.
Okay, very good. I hope you're optimistic. Ideas bleed over to the rest of the people listening to us. So, we're open for business. If anyone out there has any questions or topics for discussion, please hit that push to talk. Give me your call sign. Give me your first name, and whether it's a comment, a topic, or a question.
B2ZV.
Oh, William, you have a question tonight, or are you just checking in? I ask again, William, do you have a question tonight, or are you just checking into the net tonight?
Well, I got a question. I don't know if you can answer it or not, but I have a question. It's not ham radio, it's web question, but I got a question.
Okay, very well. Once again, we're open for business. If anyone else is listening out there, if you want to put your name on the list to go after William, please hit that push to talk and give me your call sign, your first name, and what kind of whether you have a question or a comment or a topic. Okay, well, I mean, hopefully as the night progresses, there'll be more people listening and hopefully some people with questions. What's your question tonight, William?
Well, today I got a very disturbing phone call from a security guy on one of my websites who told me that the website was infected with malware and they could fix it for me for a mere $270 a year. And basically this website cost me about $100 a year and I thought it was fully protected. And this guy went on and on to explain that even though his server is protected and the SSL connection that I have to his server when I upload content is connected, the website is protected, but the website itself is not connected. So anybody who is using the website can send somehow miraculously malware into the site, and it gets infected, and that these people are not responsible, you know, for that content because it's my server. And I find this highly annoying and not...
This is the KC2RC repeater. Please use PL88.5.
I've got to transmit overtime, but you can see that I'm annoyed, and I was hoping you might be able to explain how somebody is able to inject malware into a site that they don't have SSH permission to go to.
Well, I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's a lot of ports that can be opened on your server other than HTTP or SHTTP. You could have FTP, you could have SFTP. There's dozens of ports. And you know, I mean, the one thing, if you have nothing better to do, is you turn a computer on and you run a port sniffer in the background. And within minutes, you will have people all over the world sniffing your ports, trying to see if they could somehow get into it. So is it possible that there are other ports that are open in your system that aren't properly protected? Yeah. You know, servers usually don't just use one port. So at first, when you told me the story, it sounded like it was a complete grift. But apparently, these are people that you pay something to secure your web site certificates and such. Isn't that the case?
This guy's telling me the content is infected with the malware because somehow, I don't understand how it can happen. Maybe hackers can. I thought you had to get into the server to insert the malware, and people just going to websites were only just reading the website. They weren't able to insert anything in the website. So it seems strange to me. That's why I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on how just a person who is just like, you know, using a browser to access the website can infect it.
The guys with the browsers only aren't infecting it. But like I said before, you have more than one open port. And the only thing that SSL does is secure your SHTTP port. It doesn't secure all the other ports that may be open and capable of tunneling in and exchanging data or running strange things. Actually, sometimes just getting into the website can sometimes screw you up because they do something called SQL injection, in which they add to the address some SQL code. And SQL is a database engine, and so if they figure out the right way to format the SQL code, they can have your website return all kinds of stuff in your database. So there's a lot of different methods of breaking in, and people try every day. Our club website, unfortunately, it's not uncommon that I'll see people from Russia and all over the world trying to, I don't know why they bother to do it, but they try to go to the I forgot my password, and they randomly select a username. Sometimes they pick guest, sometimes they pick test one. Once they pick my name, I think, but we don't have users that have those types of names, so it gets bounced to me as an error. And even if they did, it's supposed to send the password reset to my email address, and they don't have my email address. They probably, except for the guy who put my name in there, don't even know that I have anything to do with the website. So people keep trying to do this day in and day out. To some it's a game, to some it's a hobby, and to others it's a way of making a lot of money if they're successful.
You're able to do this because you administer the website and you basically get an accounting from the website of all the tries that people are doing to access the website, and so this lost password is one way that they could potentially gain access.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to send it to someone. I mean, it's actually one of the plug-in pieces of software to the website. I think it's called WordFence. So, yeah, that's why I get it. How much you can really do about it, not a big problem. Occasionally, I see that members of the club who forgot their password or never had one kind of get tripped up in the website. But most of the time, it's people from across the world.
I understand that, and this is a WordPress website, and I thought, so the WordPress website seems to be something that runs on a database. Is that what your website does?
call?
Yeah. It's the same type of a website. If you're so inclined, you might want to look at WordFence. I think there's a free version, and then there's the deluxe, which we don't have. You got to do more than secure the SSL certificate. Unfortunately, we live in dangerous times, and if you don't keep up to date, a lot of these plugins update themselves something like once every 2 months. So you can't just set it and forget it in this world.
All these plugins updating themselves all the time, and I wonder, if that's secure. But it must be that there's some other. There must be other paths in there that I was just totally not aware of. And the guy is explaining to me, if I want to keep this website, I'm going to have to pay him twice as much as the hosting company costs in order to get firewall software for the website, which, I find is a little bit outrageous.
Yeah, I totally understand. Like I said before, when you started to tell me this story, this is a very, very old con where you trip some kind of fake website that flashes an alarm that you've been hacked, and to call this number immediately. And some guy, usually with a Pakistani accent, tells you, "Yeah, you're going to need antivirus protection, and we'll have to clean it out, and it'll only cost you $543.82 for the first year, and only $200 every year thereon." And they usually give you a free antivirus that didn't cost them anything, but they do bill you. So it sort of sounds like a grift, but it may just be a really awful businessman, because it sounds like it's basically almost blackmailing you. I'm sure you could go to someone else and probably get the same service for less, but I don't know the particular. But I don't know. It just it kind of pinned my BS meter when you were telling me the story, because I don't know exactly. He might be legit enough that you've been paying him, but he might not be 100% legit. He might be 43.5% legit.
He seems to be legit enough that he knows my email, and he knew my phone number, so he called me up and told me about this problem, and. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back into the support for the website a different way and see if this is really a real thing or not. I think that's what I've got to do.
Okay, what you just said confused me a little bit. Do you know this guy, or did he basically cold call you and tell you that he's the guy that you're paying for the security layer?
This guy was a cold call guy. He said he was from the tech support from the website, and I've been complaining about one of the plugins on the website that's not letting me fix supposedly a problem that they won't tell me what it is. And so the whole thing is like, it seems like it's a snowballing thing, and I don't understand why whatever is whatever. So it's really none of your business, but I was just asking general questions to see if I could get a better point of view, because I'm so confused.
Okay, assuming that the original company isn't a bunch of con artists and grifters, because there are guys like that who do that, and plus they pass around people's names and addresses and phone numbers so that other people can steal money from them, because they're an easy mark. I would backtrack to the web place, the people that you actually sent the money to, and call them up and ask them about this guy and see if he's legit. Because my guess is 2 out of 3, he's not. He just pulled your records from someplace and cold called you. So I would, before you do anything else, go to the beginning of this entire thing. If you have a phone number or an email address to that place that you bought your certificate from, contact them and ask them to vouch for this guy. Because I don't think he's real. I think he's grifting you.
KC2RC.
I think so too, and it's so weird. And so usually, but the weird thing is, he came in on the phone number of the support people for the website. So God only knows how people are able to do that. But I know that Network Solutions, who I use a lot for my domain protection, has got all kinds of people scamming the hell out of them all the time, and I get all these fake things from them telling me that, you know, everything is broken. I've got to quick send them money and stuff like that. And it always goes to phishing, you know, at them because they say, no, no, we didn't do that. So I think you're totally right, Roy. I appreciate your advice.
You're welcome. And don't trust caller ID. It is incredibly easy. Caller ID is not a secure technology. So a lot of times I'll get all kinds of phone calls where the caller ID says Apple Incorporated, IBM, Microsoft. It's an old con, you know, just kind of sending people dummy caller ID. So don't depend upon your caller ID to authenticate. You have to hang up, call these guys up yourself and ask about this guy. And again, the more you tell me about him, the more I figure he's complete BS.
The whole thing about this guy, he didn't have a Pakistani accent. He acted, you know, like, oh, I'm an IT security guy. I've been here. He speaks perfect English. He sounded like an IT guy, you know, from Arizona, something like that, you know. So that's pretty off-putting.
Well, you know, I mean, it might be an American, or some Pakistanis do a very good job of impersonating Americans. It's the entire range. I've heard terrible ones where you can barely make them out, and yet they still tell you that they're John Smith from Texas. All the way to guys who sound like either they have an Oxford accent or they have an American accent. So some of these guys are particularly skilled, despite the fact that they've chosen a life of crime. So again, it's unusual to have a perfect American accent, but it's not impossible. So it could still be a Pakistani or a Philippine or you know, like I said, occasionally Americans kind of find themselves in questionable positions and have to do this type of a con.
I really expected I was going to have less of a stressful evening. I was going to, you know, talk to you and hang out and go on the radio with some, you know, whatever comments and whatever. But I think I've got to go back and look at this a little bit more and see what I'm up against and spend some time. So I don't know that I'm going to be able to be on with you on the TechNet for much time, but maybe we've got enough conversation started that somebody's out there. Bob's out there. Hi, Bob. And maybe I'll join you later if you do the puzzle. I don't know. But I think I'm going to go look at the computer for a few minutes.
Okay, William, I understand. I mean, back in September, a hacker basically stole my telephone number. He convinced Verizon that I was changing to another provider, and all of a sudden my phone line was dead. And then he used the phone line as a means to you know, get my password access. Because if you don't remember your password, for some accounts, they'll send you a message to your telephone number, which he then had. So I had to stop him, and he got very upset. Anyway, good luck, William. You know, one of these days when you're back here, tell me how it all worked its way out.
And interestingly enough, the internet is also down, so I'm hoping it's back up again. We'll see. I'll see if it's back up again. If it's not back up, because Spectrum appears to be out, I'll join you in a few minutes again. So, I'm going to take a look at this, and maybe there's somebody else out there that's got a question for you. Thanks a lot for your time, Roy.
You're welcome. I hope you work it all out, because, again, it sounds very fishy to me. So, you know, I usually have good sensibilities for BS. So good luck, William. Well, this is AC2GS, and we're still open for business. If anyone out there has any questions or comments or topic for discussion, please hit that push to talk and ID yourself.
And 2GOT checking in. Good evening.
Hello, Howard. I think you doubled with someone else. The person who isn't Howard, try again.
This is November 1, Lima, Echo Yankee, mobile, driving along 95. Just heard you on here and found the tone squelch button and figured I'd say hi to everyone down here.
Okie dokie, what's your first name, sir?
Oh, that would be important. Tim, Tango India Mike. And I'm heading back home to Connecticut. I was down at Johns Hopkins University doing some work earlier this week and finished that up and heading home.
Okay, very good, Tim. I'm AC2GS. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month, starting at 9 p.m.
Well, pleasure to meet up with you guys, and I don't really have a question, so I think I'll just hang the microphone up and listen, see what goes on, and if I come up with something, I'll let you know. But good evening to all.
Okay, very good, Tim. I appreciate you popping up there, and I hope you have a pleasant ride home. N2GOT, how are you doing, Howard?
Andy here. Good evening. Just came home a few minutes ago. I was listening on the portable. Still listening on the portable as well as the mobile, and say good evening to everyone. I'm standing by on HF. I'm not on 10 yet. I was just turning around 10, and it seems like the band is not open. Now I'm listening on 75. Have you fired up your HF rig yet? And I take it that it's working on receive.
Yeah, it's working on receive, and it's probably working on transmit, because originally it transmitted so much distortion it got into the receiver circuits, and I was hearing it in one ear through my monitor, and it was not very pretty. Now I don't really hear any of that, and the waveform looks decent, but I don't know for sure that the people listening out there, it's not distorted anymore.
That's good. So I guess in essence, just to make it simple, you reverted back to the previous operating firmware on that rig?
Well, I did, but it didn't do any use. I went to the original, I reset it. If you keep the two buttons down simultaneously for 5 seconds, it resets the factory defaults. That didn't do anything. Flex just came up with a new firmware, a 3.9.19 instead of 3.9.18. So I figured, let me try resetting it to factory defaults, then upgrading it to 3.9.19, and that didn't help. So what finally helped is the guys in Flex sent me another, for the third time at least, encrypted SD card. So I opened up the machine and pulled out the RF cage and popped open the little SD card holder and swapped them. And I think that did it.
Very good. I think I forget how many years you've owned this rig. It's been, I guess, several. But I think I'm able to count at least one, if not more than one hand, how many times you've had issues with that. And I talked to Tony, NY3R, about it. And he had mentioned he's got an older model. Well, not an older, lower end, the 6500. I don't know the exact one he put on his, but he said he put the later one on his, and there were no issues with it. But anyway, I'll head over, I guess, to 380 or over. You want to go on 10, give it a try, but I'm sure it's going to work fine.
Welcome to the KC2RC repeater system.
Well, I appreciate your help. I'm a little bit more optimistic than I was earlier in the week, because I tried to update the firmware using different versions of the firmware, and it kept on having that problem. But what most likely happened is the card itself, has memory portions that are not directly, that shouldn't be touchable by the firmware. But every so often, things will kind of roll over and adjust the firmware in places it shouldn't touch. So I guess that was what it was, but I would appreciate it. This is probably not going to be a very long technical net, so I was thinking that unless it goes long, if you'd be kind enough to just wait until we finish up here, because I hate to kind of throw on the HF radio. It's going to screw up something with a computer just in case. So if you don't mind, if you can sit a while, we'll finish up here soon, and then it'll only be a couple of minutes to have you listen to my signal and report it back.
Pulling off here. Actually, just turned the AC on a little while ago in the radio room here. Over here in the bedroom. Still kind of stuffy, and going to run into the other room, check up on the laundry. And today's Wednesday night laundry, and also listen to the TechNet. So I'll be out here listening on the side. N2GOT.
Okay, very good, Howard, and thank you again. I really do appreciate it. This is AC2GS, and we are at the Kings County Radio Club technical net. If anyone out there has any technical questions or wants to bring up a topic or what have you, then just hit that push to talk and ID yourself. Well, it looks like I predicted correctly. We're going to have a relatively short net tonight. I'll ask a few times. I don't want to speed things up. I think it was last time there was a gentleman who popped up and said hello and then said he had to have dinner and he'd be back maybe later. And I asked, I think, three or four times in a row and got silence. So I closed the net and he popped up about 5 minutes later and wanted to know what happened to the net. So maybe I should ask six times in a row. Anyway, I am AC2GS. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. Right now, we're open for business, but if no one has any questions or topics or comments, we may be closing soon. So if there's anyone out there who would like to ask a question or bring up a topic or make comment, please do. Well, Bob, have any of those little problems that you mentioned in the previous months, did you ever look into them and get them fixed?
Roy, KD2NBB, are you talking to me or somebody else? I just heard the question, but didn't know who it was addressed to. Back to you.
I think basically you're kind of the only guy there. So yeah, I meant you, Bob.
What problems? Well, the monitor on my computer, it turns out that's fine. I just have it. I kept it. It's 60 hertz. If I really strain at the a white screen, I can detect some flicker, but in use, it doesn't really bother me. I use it for photos, and I use it for looking, watching videos, and when I, no matter how good it would be, I would always prefer looking at my laptop for reading things just because of its closer proximity. It works better with the glasses I wear and stuff. Yeah, it works fine. If that was what you were talking about, cause that monitor issue, it's not a problem. It's just like, I detected some slight flicker, and I'm a guy who can get into a worry thing, and I knew there was a return window, so, if it is an issue, you only got so many days to, and once that passed, I go, oh, man, it's fine. I mean, I went through a thing where, okay, I'm keeping this thing, because I did a bunch of research. There's nothing that has the other specs that I wanted for it, with the higher refresh rate. I don't think it exists. So, anyway, I'm happy with it. So I don't know if that's what you were talking about. I'm fine right now. Back to you, Roy.
Okay, very good. I just was wondering, because there's been a couple of things that you mentioned along the months. So I thought I would ask you that. I fixed my Flex radio. I also had a amplifier that the fan died. So I replaced the fan. I had to desolder it and solder a new one in. So that's working nicely. So I fixed two parts of my radio today. And hopefully Howard will listen to my output and he'll tell me that it's not distorting. And so it'll be 2 out of 2. We'll see what happens. Anyway, I am AC2GS, and this is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. If anyone has any technical questions, problems, topics, what have you, hit that push to talk and ID yourselves. Oh, well, it looks like it's going to be one of those Wednesdays. But we'll give you guys one more chance. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. I'm the control operator for this, the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. We stay open for business for as long as people have questions or topics. But if no one has any questions or topics, so we have short sessions. So this is going to be the final request for questions or topics or comments. I don't get anything but the chirping of insects. I'll call it a night and move on to see if my Flex radio has been properly repaired by me. Anyway, this is AC2GS. We're open for business, at least for the next minute or two. If anyone out there has any questions or topics or comments, please hit that push to talk and ID yourselves.
Quick question for you guys. This is Tim, N1LEY. I'm on the George Washington Bridge, and I can hear the repeater pretty well, but I have no idea where the repeater is. So maybe just tell me a little bit about the repeater. I'd be appreciative.
Yeah, let me try this again, because I don't think what I said went out. It's in downtown Brooklyn. Output's about 60 watts. I can't tell you the exact elevation, but it's a relatively tall cooperative apartment complex.
Okay, yeah, I got your signal that time. I didn't hear anything before. I just stuck into my head maybe a fun comment that some of you guys might find interesting. A couple weeks ago, somebody from the original Armstrong low-band FM transmitter just on the west side of the Hudson, right behind me somewhere there, turned on the 48.26 megahertz, 42 megahertz, somewhere around there, transmitter site, and I went up to the top of West Peak, which in Meriden, Connecticut, which is a receiving site from it, about a mile from where I grew up, and I was not able to receive the signal, but I don't know if any of you down here heard it. It was the Armstrong commemorative transmission successful, or were you aware of it at all?
This is the KC2RC repeater. Please use PL88.5.
No, Tim, I was unaware of it. This is the first time hearing about it.
Okay. I forgot all the details about the gentleman's call sign, website, all of that. Just, you know, 3 weeks goes by and all of it pops out of my head. But, yeah, back prior to 1946, FM band was on low band, and that was one of the transmitters from that Armstrong tower was using FM to get a clear signal to the West Peak in Meriden, and then from there over to, I think, Providence, and then to Boston to allow for sports simulcasts to get to the Boston area without static. That was the history of it.
Oh, very good. I'll have to Google it and find out the details. I don't know if that went through. I'll have to Google it and find out the details, Tim.
Level 73,
Tim. Have a great rest of the ride, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the line, Tim. 73. Anyway, let me try one last time. This is AC2GS with Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, and if you have any questions or comments or topics for tonight, please hit that push to talk and ID yourselves, and we'll talk. Okay, very well then. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York. We meet on the first Wednesday of each and every month. Our next meeting will be August 6th, which will be a hybrid meeting and a virtual meeting using Zoom software. Club members will be emailed with the details of the meeting. The physical location of the in-person meeting is the Knights of Columbus at 1511 10th Avenue. Non-members wishing to join a general club meeting can email me, AC2GS, with some form of identification for the required link. Although our meetings informally begin at 7 p.m., our formal regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until anywhere from 9 p.m. to 9:30, depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at 9 p.m. We also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on 28.380, sometimes 28.381. Upper sideband, we offer an audio stream of our KC2RC repeater on the internet, as well as our 10-meter net. You just type into your browser stream.kc2rc.com, and that'll get you there. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. We will be offering a VE session to obtain an amateur radio license or to upgrade your present license. Our VE session is scheduled for Sunday, August 24th, at the Knights of Columbus at 1511 10th Avenue at 12 noon. Please contact Berlot, KD2MYF, or go to the ARRL VE session page and register. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original additional articles and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website hosting services were generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, Three Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen a bit more and talk a bit less. Time to roll this all up and shut it down, but we'll be back to do it all over again come July 23rd, and you're welcome to join us. Thanks to all the people that participated tonight, especially my co-host Bob, KD2NVB. Without you guys, I would just be talking to myself. So this is Roy, AC2GS, and I'll be going clear and getting the heck out of here. AC2GS clear.
73, Roy. 73, everybody. Or anybody. Yeah. Okay. 73.